today I want to continue, go over another chapter from the Sefer Inside Stam, meaning that this week is Parashas Bo, the first two Parashas of Tefillin. So we discussed yesterday at length the four different ways to write Parashas V'Chaya Im Shemaya. Parashas V'Chaya Im Shemaya is a Parashas Stuma.
I didn't find in our scroll a single Stuma that had the next line in the...
We don't do it, exactly. In the Sefer Torah, we don't do it. That's exactly what we mentioned yesterday. We follow L'chol Hadeis. According to the Rambam, a stuma is on the same line.
Right, but in our mind, all the stumas
are on the same line.
If they're there to end at a line, the next line is not indented.
Oh, there are stumas in the Chumash? Stum, those are psuchos. They wouldn't do that.
Huh?
Those are psuchos. In the art scroll, if it starts the beginning of a line, that's a parasha psucha.
No, they have stumas the beginning of the line.
Okay, you have to show me. Try to bring a Chumash. Find a Chumash somewhere. Okay, so that was one thing we discussed yesterday. There are four different ways to begin and end Parsha Shema and V'Hoyo Im Shemoa. The minig of the Sfardim, the Shittas HaRambam, the Taz, two variations of the Taz, and the minig Chabad. Okay, so that's one very important thing to look out for when buying a pair of tefillin. Let's discuss today some other chumras. And as a Hagdama, I think we're all very well aware that when it comes to buying tefillin, the price of a pair of tefillin, the quality can vary greatly. You can buy a pair of tefillin today, probably, we're talking about gassos, we're not talking about dakos, gassos, which means very expensive, thick, a hide that comes from a behema gassa, a large animal. And the price can vary between $500 for a pair of tefillin to $5,000. Okay, you can probably buy a tefillin gassos, possibly even for $500. And for sure you can find a pair of tefillin of gassos with $5,000. I would imagine today that the average bar mitzvah boy, you go to a regular yeshiva, you go here to Tar Vidas, Tar Tamima, Chaim Berlin, and all the regular yeshivas, and you look at a boy, a bar mitzvah boy, 13-year-old boy who's putting on a pair of tefillin, I would assume that the pair of tefillin cost about between $1,000 and $1,500. I think that's a fair estimation of what the average...
$2,000 for my grandson's...
You pay $2,000. Really? Probably like a very expensive pair.
$800.
Do you think it's an average? Maybe it could be the price went up already by now.
$800
for what?
Trillion.
For a pair of tefillin. You bought a pair of tefillin by Pingus. $800 for a pair of tefillin. Oh, yes. Okay, I would say, if you go into a yeshiva...
But I figured also, these kids, you know...
You don't know what's going to happen, right? So you go to the average pair of tefillin today, top of the line, you buy a bar mitzvah boy, a regular family, going to Lakewood, going to a cheder in Lakewood, they have, I don't know how many children there are, I assume it's about a little bit more than $1,000. $1,200, $300, $1,500, maybe more expensive. That's probably the going rate. But you can buy tefillin that are worth $5,000. So what are the different things, I want to go over now, what are the different hidurim that would cause the price to go up?
In
both batim, primarily batim, and in parashios. Now, of course, the first thing is the quality of the ksaf. You have a sefer who has a beautiful ksaf, he knows how to write, and you don't have to be a very big Talmud Chacham to know the differences. You can right away see with the naked eye, you could lay out for you five different pairs of tefillin, and you can right away, without knowing any halacha, you can right away see that certain ksav, it's neater, it's consistent, it has a certain yoifi. And then of course, you know the halachas, you know how to write, you can see all of the hidurim that go into writing each individual ois, requires a lot of skill set, of course, the major factor in raising the price. Another factor is, some seferim have a reputation as being very good, big talmidei chachamim. Talmidei chacham yari shemayim, there's people that they respect them, and they're very busy, they're very, very high demand, and price and supply and demand, they're very in demand, so they're able to charge, they make a parnasa, they're entitled to make a parnasa, they're able to get more money, so that's another very, probably the most important thing is the yirah shemaim of the cipher. Okay, that goes without saying.
The sidron is another.
Well, that's halacha. The sidron is halacha. That's none of it. But let's talk about chumras. Chumras, which cause a price, something called the chumra in the writing of the tongue, called the chumra of the chayi adam. Okay, Rabbi Meskel is an ankle of the chayi adam. The Chai Adam made a Tanai with his cipher. We're all on the cipher called Chach Toiches. You're not allowed to, if a blotch of ink falls on a cloth and it dries, and then you take a razor and you scrape around the edges in order to fashion, to leave in the center the tzur of a letter, that's pasul deraisa. The tefillin must be written v'chosav. It must be put on the parchment with a maisa ksiva. You must write the letter. If you have a blotch of ink and you scrape around the boundary of the letter to produce the image of the letter, that's called v'chokak. Engraving, chok toiches. Now that has many applications. If, for example, a person is required to write two zayins, mezuzos pesecha, and by mistake the sofer is daydreaming and he writes a ches. He sees two zayins next to each other and he puts a little gag on top, and that's a ches. What did I do? I made a mistake. So you take out your razor and you erase the gag of the two zayins. The tefillin are pasul, because that those two zayins have been fashioned by erasing. It was originally a ches. I've erased it. It's in order. I've gone in order. Zayin, zayin. Two zayins came together. That's good enough. And I've erased the gag. And now I've made two zayins. So that's possible. You would never know. You can wear these tefillin for 1,000 years. You would never know that when they were written out of order through chok toiches. So there's a sheet of the chayyad. The chayyad, he told his sofer. He told the sofer. When you write, I don't trust you. I trust you, but before you write your tefillah, I'm coming into your home. I'm going to lock you up in a solitary confinement, and I'm going to remove all razors, all implements that can possibly use to erase. I'm going to take away, not because really you can erase. You can erase as long as you know the halachas. But just in case, maybe you may accidentally need to erase something, and you may be daydreaming, you may do it in the wrong way, and it'll be possible you'll never know about it. So I demand of you to give over, hand over your razors, all the box cuts, you know, screen check, airport security before you come into the, metal detector in the house, radar detector. There's no metal in this house when you ride my tefillin. What? No pens. So this is that's another chumrah. Right? So this is a chumrah of the chayy adam. There are seifim out there today that you can buy. If you want to buy, with this chumrah, you can buy. My tefillin were written. The sofer did never erase anything on the parashios. He agreed to do so. He was extremely careful. It never happened that there was any erasing whatsoever. The chumrah of the chaye adam. You want a pair of tefillin like that? You're going to pay. You contract with the sofer. I want this chumrah. Because you never know. You can make a mistake. You have the best of the best make mistakes. You have to erase. You always have to erase. Just you have to know how to erase. There are many rules on what to do. I don't want you ever to come to a shiloh where you have to erase. There are sofer that specialize in this, but they charge. That's chumrah number one. The chumrah of the chay adam. Next chumrah. The chumrah of the Avnei Nezer. This is an expensive chumrah. There are seferim that do this. You got to pay for it. The tefillin must be written kisidron. You have to write in perfect order. Problem is, the parashios have to be justified. We don't have a. It's not on my computer. We just press a button, left indent, right justify, left justify, it's centered.
The whole newspaper was doing that.
Justified, it's automatic. How do seferim justify the text? Well, they have a guide. Okay, they have a guide. They know the exact number of letters. They show you how it's to be spaced, and you basically copy the guide. But even by copying, It still requires a lot of practice, because there's always, when you get to the end, you get to the very end of the line, we all seen Svarim, they are long reshes and long mems, and you gotta be very careful. So you have to properly learn how to space. There are a lot of techniques. Some Svarim, especially the younger Svarim, have less experience. What they like to do is, they like to write, well, it's in the Sefer Torah, it's no big deal. You can work backwards, because in the Sefer Torah, there's no din of kisidra. But in tefillin and mezuzos, where everything must be written in perfect order, on Sefer Torah and mezuzah, everything must be written in perfect order, the only solution is, so some Sefer, what they do is they'll just write the top of the letter. So let's say for example, you have the word, the end of the letter is ukasharta. You'll write the top of the vav, the top of the kuf, the top of the resh, the top of the tof, and the top of the mem. It's the last one on the line. And that way you can already get a sense of the space, and it's not shaloi kisidron, because I didn't finish the whole letter. You only violate shaloi kisidron when you write the entire letter. If you don't write the entire letter, you only write part of the letter, that's not called shaloi kisidron. So many seferim do that. when they write tefillin, when they come to the end of the line, towards the end of the line, they just basically outline the top of the letter of the words that they're coming to in order that should be perfectly justified. And then they go back and in order they write the bottom of all the letters. And it's natural like a sidron because I never wrote a complete letter out of wood. I only wrote a partial letter out of wood. And this gets very dangerous.
Right.
Because what is really called a complete letter, what's called a partial letter, and the Avnei Nezer is of the opinion, it could be it's based on Rishayim, that there is a din of Shalikis Sidron even on partial letters. Even on a significant chunk of a letter, an aver, a limb of a letter, an aleph has a few limbs. There's a leg, and there's a roish, and there's also within Shalikis Sidron.
You're supposed to write the aleph?
What?
Is the order how you're supposed to write?
No, in the letter itself, there is definitely no order. That for sure not. That is a given.
Let's say he writes the yud and then
that's 100% fine. A lefty and a righty write everything completely different. And he and
in other words, since Hebrew was from right to left, you're supposed to write the letter from right to left.
Not necessarily. It can always be done. It can always be done. And also, there's writing the lefty.
Could you do that? Can you, let's say you're writing a word, and you come to an aleph in the word.
Yeah.
And you leave the word in the middle of writing it?
No, if it's Sefer Torah, you can do that. Tefillin and mezuzos, you're not allowed to write any letter out of wood. If you write a complete letter,
that's not the letter of the word.
Oh, that's the question. That is the issue. We paskin l'halacha, you're allowed to. As long as it's not a kosher letter, you can.
This question just wants to take a break.
Yeah, of course.
You can take a coffee.
Of course. You can take a coffee break in the middle of a letter. Not in the middle of Hashem's name, that you shouldn't do.
Right.
But it's also good with the Yavid. You can take a call, yeah, absolutely. You can take a call, 100%. 100%. No question about it, definitely. But are you allowed to write partial letters out of order? Many of the best sofrim do this all the time in order. In order, at the halacha, in order that it should be justified. It's a technique that you need to employ in order to make sure the text is perfectly justified. You have to write a portion of the letter out of order. It's done all the time. However, the Avnei Nezer is of the opinion that if you do this, the tefillin are puzzle. The tefillin are puzzle because he holds there's something called Shalikis Sidron even on partial letters. So when you contract with a cipher to write tefillin, there are definitely people out there that say, I want the chumrah of the Avnei Nezer. You want it, you're going to pay for it.
And you okay? Don't know if they'll do it anyway.
Well, that's a matter of trust.
Well, that's what Amri said.
Everything in this world is like...
This is with the machine and...
You go for heart surgery. Do you know that he really did the surgery?
Yeah, but it's not the doctor.
I had a relative, we mamish with he went for brain surgery, and we mamish ar hayom azeh achoyshayt that the surgeon didn't do the surgery. He opened him up and he closed him. And he didn't do anything. He did not do anything. We did not know if he actually did anything in the surgery. And it was very vague. And he was very evasive. The person eventually died. But not due to the surgery. Maybe it was related. And that's another issue. You trust the sofer. But let's say you wanted the man. So this is another chumrah called the chumrah of the Avnei Nezer. Next chumrah. Chumrah of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. No one has this chumra today. It doesn't exist, but maybe there. I don't know. Maybe there is. There's some shagas. No, they say claim that he never said this lahalach. It's written in the stencils. In the Reb Chaim, he wrote things on there in the stencils. So they say it was not lahalacha. His chumra was that you're not allowed to go back and touch up an ois. Now today, halacha is if the letter has the ikar tsura. Let's say you have an aleph. And the top of the aleph is not connected to the goof of the aleph. And the bottom is not connected. It's puzzle, right? It's mamish puzzle. If you put on the tefillin, it's bracha levatala. Are you allowed to correct it? Yes. Why? it's not shaloi kisin. Shaloi kisidron is only when you're missing a significant, you're missing a part of the tsur of the ois. Since the aleph has the tsur, it's just there's a technical part that's not connected.
Is it like the tagin on the mezuzah?
For sure, the tagin, right? The tagin also. So the tagin, there is a she that holds that the tagin after also shaloi. That's another chum.
Right?
Rav Chaim Kanievsky?
No, according to Soloveitchik.
No, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik holds that this is true when it comes to the guf ha'ois. So Rav Chaim says that if you go back and you write more diyoy on the letter, the new diyoy that you add to the letter is nevatel the old diyoy from what's underneath. So it's shalei kisidron, even touch ups.
Right. So
touch ups.
You never can do a touch up on
exactly. Parties. You can never do a touch up exactly because
right,
why? Because the new you could add ink where ink is missing. If ink is missing, you can do it. Let's say you have a letter, an aleph, and it's just not connected. So you take a microscopic pen, and you put a little dioy where the ink is missing. Also, very good. I've added new ink. Then you can even do ink kunt rabchayim. But if I go and I just sloppily, I add, once I'm touching up that little part, I'll just add, extend the little leak and push it over.
The tagin is no good. You can't put tagin afterwards.
Well, tagin is new. Tagin are new. That's not necessarily a problem. See, tagin is better.
The
doesn't matter. Tagin touches, but tagin are new. Oh, so you're saying that you're adding.
So you're making like a aleph that's just.
You're adding more ink onto the letter. That's a good point because when you're adding, when you're making the tagin, you're touching up the ice. You're touching up the ice. So, but theoretically, if you would be able to make tagin without touching up the letter itself, then it would be okay. Theoretically. But if you're adding new ink upon old ink, Rav Chaim says the new ink is mevatel the old ink, and if this new ink is significant that it would change the letter, then there would be a different type of letter without it, or with it, then it's shaloi kisidron. So theoretically, Sefer Torah, there's no shaloi kisidron. Sefer Torah is for sure good. It's good. A Sefer Torah, there's no din shaloi kisidron by a Sefer Torah. Only by tefillin and mezuzos. Only by tefillin and mezuzos must be in perfect order. So according to Rav Chaim, you basically never allowed to go back and touch up an ois. Because by touching up an ois, the new ink that you add is. You can fix. There are things that you can fix as long as the new fixing, you're not putting a new layer of ink. If you're adding ink to a part that never had ink.
But in a tefillin had ink.
No, not necessarily. You have a psul. You have a
kosher tefillin.
No touch-ups. Yeah, so no touch-ups.
You can't put any touch-up on it.
Exactly, pretty much, right. You can't do touch-ups, right. So when you write, Shab Chaim said, when you write Oisiyos tefillin, you can't go back and touch up letters. Now, that doesn't exist. There's no sefer in the world that doesn't go back and touch up letters when they're writing. It doesn't exist such a thing. Once you have the ikur tzur of the ois, you'll always notice backwards, it could be a little bit better, you could add a little more ink to fix it up a little bit more. That's a touch up. So if you want the chum of Reb Chaim, that's going to cost you another $1,000. And the sefer has to be so perfect and so careful that as he writes, he'll never go back and touch up another letter because he holds, la halacha, it's shaloi kisidron. Okay, the halacha l'maisa, what he writes here in this book is, this is a very big munchah. You see from the scholarship of the Sefer by Mendelwitz, is that no one doesn't exist. This whole thing does not exist. Even if you pay all the money in the world, you're not going to find a sefer that does. This doesn't exist. Things, and they say, they prove, they bore many rais, that Rav Chaim never said this lahalacha. He was talking lamdas theoretically that maybe adding new ink should be mevatel, new ink on top should be mevatel the old ink below. Okay, but this is something which is that's a chumah which is not lalach. Yeah.
According to this, we had that story you told us about. Someone wrote a outline for his kids.
Yeah.
With a laser, so then it should be kosher to talk because he's mevatel all the letters. He's rewriting on top of the whole.
Not necessarily. You're just filling in. You're filling in.
He puts on it a.
Off the mezuzah.
Outline.
I don't know.
He puts new ink on top of every letter. So then it's
okay, so this is.
It's mevatel the whole thing. There's no shayla here.
Okay, so this is Chumra Reb Chaim. Now there's another Chumra. There's the Chumra called the tagin of not Shaniske. The Shatnez Gates, the letters Shatnez Gates, Shin, Ayin, Nun, Tes, Gimel, Zayin have three tagin, Shatnez Gates. Then there are letters that have one tag. Then there are letters that have one, it's called Beged, that's the Diktok thing. I've got Beged Chaya, I think it's called Beget Chaya, I think it's called Beget Chaya, those letters have one tag. The Shanes Gates that have three tagim, and Beget Chaya have one tag. Then there are the tagim of the Shimush Rabba. Shimush Rabba is the name of a sefer. We don't know who the author is. It's an ancient holy sefer, and there's a certain tefillin. People have tefillin by Rashi and the tefillin by Nutam, and then there are the tefillin of the Shimush Rabba. I'm going to give a shiur about this before you came to the call. We're going to share the tefillin of the Shimush Rabba. What exactly they are, how they're written, and they are. I asked Rabbi Sofer once, a long time ago. I asked him, did you ever sell someone tefillin? He says yes. Every once in a while, people ask him for the tefillin of Shimush Rabba. Supposed to be mamish, you have to be mamish, the Gadol Hadar, to be zeicher to wear the tefillin of the Shimush Rabba. But in the Sefer Shimush Rabba, it says that there are certain letters besides the traditional letters that require tagin. There are certain vavs, I don't know what they are. There are certain letters that require tagim. Oh, it's a hiddur. It's a hiddur to add to certain letters in the tefillin. Tefillin, these extra tagim. So some people, when they purchase tefillin, they want a hiddur. They demand from the sefer, I want a bonus. I'll pay you an extra $50, $100, and you should be metayig my tefillin with the tagim of the Shimush Rabba.
Is that a hiddur or is that a
hiddur? It's a hiddur. It's a hiddur. No, it appears to be something which is accepted in the world of sacrifice as a hiddur. Here, Rabbi Mendelowitz says that it's not a good thing. Stay away from it. He personally advised why. First of all, he says that this Shimush Rabba, it's very sketchy. There are different versions of which letters require, which are the letters that require. He said, you want to give Yotz Oladeus, there are 244 letters in the film that will require extra tagging. So there are many of those. It's not really clear which version of the Shimush Rabba is correct. And to do all the more is ridiculous. And many times, adding more tagim, you are creating problems. More ink, it's very easy to be mishane the tzur of an ois when you add a tagim. You got a tag on a vav, it could look like a lamet. You can turn a vav into a lamet. A vav doesn't get a tag. It's not part of any set of letters that get a tag. But in the Shimush Rabba, there are selected vavs that get tagged. If you don't do the tag on the vav right, you can turn the vav into a lamet. In halach, it's considered to be a lamet. So this is a chumrah which can very easily turn into a psul. So he says, watch out. You want to do it right, you do it right. You take this one version of Shimush Rabba, you got to stick with that version, and you have a sefer that's a mumcha, he can do it the right way. And the other chumrah that Rabbi Cohen mentioned to us, there's a new trend today that sefer, they don't do the tagin. There's a new thing today. There's a new phenomenon today that seifrim are very straight. Time is money in every profession. Everything you do in this world, time is money. No matter if you're a computer programmer, if you're a plumber, and if you're a seifer, time is money. Someone who's skilled, has a good hand, a beautiful hand, can ride very quickly. And if you're going to make him do the tagim, you're going to slow him down. Someone told me, I asked someone a seifer this week about this. He told me that a good son, the people that he told the whole profession, people who just do tagim, they write the parashios and you give it off to a minimum wage worker to put in all the tagim for you. They use a pen to put in the tagim. The difference is a seifer can write a whole pair of tefillin in 1 week. Seifer works 9 to 5. If he doesn't do the tagim, he can get in a pair of tefillin and make another $1,000 a week. That's a lot of money. In Eretz Yisrael, that's a fortune of money. People who are in this profession, they have very low standard of living. They don't make a big parnasa. You get a whole pair of tefillin. The amount of time that I would go and do the tagim, I can pay someone $10 to do the tagim, and I can go in the time that I save not doing the tagim myself, writing quicker, I can write an entire pair of tefillin and make another $1,000 a week. Of course, you're not going to do the tagim. You're going to give the tagim to someone, to a lackey, to an assistant to do for you. However, that's a chasaron, because there are rishonim that say that the tzur of the ois is not complete without the tagim. So it is a gather of shaloi kisidron. It's not the Avni Nezer. It's not as bad as the Avni Nezer. Avni Nezer is much more serious. You're not really writing the entire letter. So here we have five chumras, and each one of these chumras, theoretically, the Rav Chaim, we don't do, it's not really done, but each one of the other four certainly can have a drastic change on the price of a pair of tefillin. A standard pair of tefillin is not you buy it, you go into a swarm store, a Judaica store, and you get a pair of tefillin, they're not going to have these chumras. Usually these type of chumras are only when you know the sefer personally. Okay, it's always good when you buy a pair of tefillin, you buy for your grandchildren. Very, very common gift today. Grandparents buy their grandchildren tefillin. So there are baruch today. It's much better than it used to be. Years ago, people would go into Eichler's and they would buy a pair of tefillin. They really know what in the world they're getting. And Eichler's, they didn't know what in the world they were selling. Today, Eichler's, they know what they're selling. Baruch Hashem, they're with the program and they're super careful today because they don't want to get into trouble, so they know exactly, they charge you for it, but they're getting very good things. So you're very safe, but you're gonna overpay quite a bit. You go into a, today there's some like Tiferes Stam. So they know what you're getting, but it's even better than that. If you have someone learning in Eretz Yisrael, you have a son-in-law, you have a grandchild, they, through the grapevine, they find out who are the Seferim, who are the Mumchim, and they know what's going on, and you basically deal with a Sefer directly for the Parshios, and then you discuss what exactly are you giving me? What are the rules? You can go into a store and buy in Tiferes Tam. You don't know any. What are the chumras? So you know these chumras. Well, you know it was written by Talmud Chacham Yerushalayim, and he wanted the chumra of the Chaya Adam, the chumra of the Avnei Nezer, the chumra of the Tagim, all written Kesidron, the chumra of Chaim. We don't do that chumra, and what was the other chumra? The Chumra, Avnei Nezer, the Chaya Adam, the Tagim, and the Reb Chaim, and what else? There was one of the Chumra?
The
Tagim. The Tagim of the Mishimusha Rabba. Okay, I would assume that the average parent from the UC boy in Lakewood, the Lakewood Cheder, 8th grade boy in Lakewood Cheder, does not have any of these Chumras. Average peritoneum you buy for parashios costs today $1,000, $700, $800, do not have these Chumras, and it's perfectly fine. It's mechuder, and in fact, it's not recommended. A very big Talmud Chacham told me that for bar mitzvah boy, even the biggest gevir, you don't buy a bar mitzvah boy a $5,000.
Get married.
You see, the biggest gevir, they let their children drive around in a Lexus. A big gevir, he wants to buy his child a car. He has an 18-year-old boy, got a license. First of all, that's not a good idea to get him a car. That's number one. Shas hatcha gadol, you have to get him a car. You get him a Civic. You get him an Elantra. Even you get a new car. You get him the low end. You get him the cheapest model. Make sure it has all the safety features. You don't buy him a Lexus. You buy him whatever the lowest level car is. Even the biggest gevir. A gevir goes and buys his child a Lexus. This is not normal. This is not a healthy thing. It's not a normal thing. So tefillin is the same thing. You don't buy a bar mitzvah boy, a 13-year-old boy who doesn't appreciate, doesn't know Benjamin Small, to go buy him has the tagim of the Shimush Rab. He needs to know from the tagim of the Shimush Rab. He needs to know from the Chum of the Avnei Nezer and the Chaya Adam and the Chaya Mitzvah Mishagas. You buy the standard thing. It costs plenty of money. Go pay $800 for a parashios, plenty of money. Okay, that takes care of the parashios. Now, let's get really out of time. Very quickly, we'll talk about the Batim. Batim, he has a fantastic chapter on Batim. Batim is amazing. You know, it's funny. My nephew was bar mitzvah, and my father, you know, was nifter recently. My father, when he got married, he got the Lexus of tefillin. He got the Mercedes. He got my grandfather bought for him a new pair of tefillin. At that time, would probably be today worth. I'm estimating, let's say today, average pair of tefillin is $1,500. I would assume it was equivalent, like $3,000. I wouldn't say it's $5,000. I would say it's as if like a today $3,000. So we brought it to the Sefer. So he said the parashios are perfect. I was planning just, you know, the parashios are perfect. I know we had it checked. My father had it checked a few times. I brought it to have it checked, so on and so forth. Parashios, I have photocopies of the parashios. The parashios are top of the line. And the batim, as far as I'm concerned, I brought my tefillin many times, and my brother, and I was involved in tefillin over the years. They were worn, they were 40 years old, the batim, but when they were bought, they were purchased, they were the top of the line. So it could use some sanding, and they can make it look like brand new. It looked fine to me. I'm talking about quality batim. Yeah, we'll buy new boxes and new bag, and they would sand it and polish it and repaint it. It would be mamish, and especially with my father's tefillin, you know, my mom, that he should wear the same to my father. I'm not talking about tefillin, you know, from 200 years ago. So the Batim Machim says to me, and I don't know, no, bar mitzvah boy, you buy new. Bar Mitzvah boy, he says to me, these the batim, the parashios are good. He says, the batim, they're 40 years old already, they're a little bit worn, they're a little bit bent. He says, no, Bar Mitzvah boy, you buy new. How much are new batim? So I have here for the Bar Mitzvah boys, top of the line. We're not talking about buying, you know, the Meshigas. I can tell you, I'll show you the chumras of the batim. You can spend $5,000 in batim also. Well, the chumras, the average boy in Lakewood, he gets a pair of batim, it's either going to be, he shows me what everyone buys. It's either this or this. This one costs, I think he told me, 300 and something, and this one costs 400 and something. Two different, this is what everyone, all the Bar Mitzvah boys get. Standard. As all the chumras, it's mechuder. It's not crazy. We're not talking about crazy Meshigasim, which I'll show you in a few moments. We're talking about, no, the run-of-the-mill goods, plenty of money also. $450 is plenty of money, whatever it was. I don't remember what it was exactly. So I still, ad hayom hazeh, I said, let me think about it. And ad hayom hazeh, I can't figure out if he was trying, he doesn't want the money, or he really meant it. I asked him, what would you do if it was your son? He says, my son, I buy new. Bar Mitzvah boy, you buy new. These are 40 years old. They're good.
They made them different than them today. Today they put the thread between.
Oh, I'm going to talk about all that. No, so this has all the chumras. They all had the thread. That's a halacha.
I was wearing a daily tilt.
Yeah, yeah.
A little, warped a little bit.
Yeah.
So I went to one of the local stores, who of course goes in the cipher. The cipher goes in the bank says, there's a problem with the batim, you need new batim. So I said, okay, the tefillin, so he gave me new batim. Then he comes back and says, by the way, the batim were good.
Yeah, well, they're always going to be good. No one's gonna, it's very hard to say the apostle. It's very hard to say the apostle is positive. He just told me. So I don't know. Arayom Azeh really won't. I'll say, I assume he's an Erlich person. He really meant it. He told me, you know, today you buy new. So he thought I bought new. He made me feel guilty. I don't want to play around. So we bought new. I'm gonna play around. But like, I don't know. To me, they were pretty good.
My rule of rabbi. Yeah. That if you have a 60-year-old, the batamacha was more your shemayim than any batamacha today.
Okay, but it's true and it's not true. It's still 60 years old. It's still 60 years old and there's wear and tear. Okay, so there are a lot of fascinating ideas, but we're out of time, so we'll do this next week, believe that. We'll go into all the chumras, all the hidurim of the batim. All this is new to me. And it's all thanks to Rabbi Mendelitz and this fantastic insight stuff.